Penguin Random House Audio presents Odd Partners, an anthology, edited by and with an introduction from Anne Perry.
Introduction by Anne Perry. I have really enjoyed putting together this anthology, and I think you'll enjoy it too. When I was invited to edit it, I was also given the chance to decide on the subject that would bind all the stories together. Several ideas were put forward, but I was passionate about the idea of odd partners. I had in mind any two beings who had to cooperate with each other, willingly or by force of circumstances, to solve a crime. I had already read with great pleasure Charles Todd's series of mysteries featuring an officer from World War I who was haunted by the ghost of a man he was forced to execute, and whose voice he still heard in his head, advising him on current cases. That was a fascinating and uncomfortable other. Charles Todd was the first person I invited to contribute a story. Happily, he accepted. There are endless possibilities to work with. Partners may be odd, because they're of different races, cultures, beliefs, or even have different purposes for solving a crime. Conflict, internal and external, is the heart of drama, and perhaps the soul of its resolution. Conflict can provide insight into anything, but particularly into people, and into yourself. The journey is eventful because all sorts of clashes can happen. There can be quarrels, misunderstandings, anger, and forgiveness. And, of course, always the crime must be solved. Who? Why? And how? After all, we are the mystery writers of America. I placed no limit on time or place, and there was a wide variety. More importantly, there was no restriction on the nature of the awkwardness or differences between the two people, or that they had to be two people. Why not an animal? Especially a dog? Where would the police force or the army be without dogs? Or horses? Cats are another subject, and make for a different kind of story and detective. But never forget cats. Or wild animals. William Kent Kruger has contributed a marvellous story, whose odd partners are a lover of the land and its life and beauty, and a wolf in the wild. And yet they are partners in this instance. It's a beautiful story. I read it smiling, with tears in my eyes. I will definitely read it again. And there are other wonderful stories by writers you know, such as Joe R. Lansdale, Alison Brennan, Jeffrey Deaver, Robert Dugoni, Jacqueline Winspear, and Ace Atkins, which you will love, and others by writers you will come to know. They each address oddness differently, some with wit, some with tragedy, others as triumph. Cooperation can be willing or unwilling. Naturally, there can be other kinds of odd partners as well. If you can have a ghost or a wolf, why not a diary that tells you things you didn't know and perhaps didn't want to know? But now you do, you have to deal with it, and it leads you to the solutions of old crimes and new ones. The same could be true of a bundle of old letters, or even a portrait painted by a particularly perceptive artist. The odd relationship can lead to anything, or nothing at all. But the heart of a story is the journey towards understanding of others, and most of all, of yourself. I hope you get as much pleasure from reading these stories as I did when I collected them.
Reconciliation by Anne Perry. Read by Simon Prevel. Jack had to find Private Richards before he did something stupid and irrevocable. Damn the men who had tormented the new recruit with what they had said was his cowardice. They might have thought they were teasing him, teaching him to stand up for himself. But Richards was barely 17. It was too soon. Only a couple of months ago he'd been a schoolboy. Now he was a soldier in the Flanders trenches with a rifle in his hands. Jack rounded the bend in the trench, keeping his head low. but Richards was nowhere in sight along this stretch. He was not among the men sitting on the duckboards, smoking their woodbines, reading letters from home, making bad jokes. They knew how to hide their fear. Richards didn't. Not yet. He was frightened out of his wits, deafened by the noise of gunfire, sick with the smell of death clogging his senses. And above all, trying to do the right thing. Trying to belong. Jack Barrick was a veteran. He was 23 and had been here since the beginning, 2 years ago, at the end of that blazing hot summer of 1914. Home by Christmas, they'd said. Over 1 million casualties later, it looked as if they would be here forever. Some of them really would be, God help them, buried in the Flanders clay. What is forever when you're 17 and the average life expectancy is a matter of weeks? But Jack was not going to lose Richards because some irresponsible idiot had made him think he was a coward and not fit to be one of them. Everything was quiet now. Jerry must be taking a nap. Jack's feet rattled on the duckboards. Think, where would Richards go? Where would he feel safe? Double back to the supply trench. Jack went down the connecting trench, still keeping low. A careless hand, or worse, head, could still attract a sniper's bullet. Jack asked everyone he passed if they had seen Richards. No one had. But then he encountered a worried-looking sergeant, far too concerned with his own problems to listen to anyone else's.
"Oh, Captain Barrick," said the man as he grabbed Jack's arm. "You seen anyone come this way carrying a gas canister? Probably had it wrapped up in something. Could look like anything. Clothes."
"You missing one?" Jack caught his alarm. Gas was everyone's nightmare. Ever since it had first been used at Ypres last year, the thick, poisonous fumes haunted them all. Worse than drowning in the mud or being caught on the barbed wire riddled with bullets. Equal, maybe, to the sapper's fear of being trapped in the endless tunnels beneath no man's land in a flood or cave-in, slowly crushed, unable to breathe. Jack knew that fear personally. He was a sapper himself.
"Yes," the sergeant admitted. "Saw a young soldier hanging round. You can always tell the latest lot. The fear in their eyes that isn't quite the 1,000-yard stare. But you know that if they live, it will be. He could have taken it. Stupid little sod might not realise what it is."
Jack felt a knot tighten in his chest. "About my height, fair hair, 17. There was no relief in the sergeant's face.
"Yes, that's him."
Jack wanted a doubt, but the sick certainty inside him left no room. "Which way did he go?" he asked, although he knew already.
"Toward the front."
The sergeant indicated the front line and no man's land and the German lines beyond.
"Do you know him? Where's he gone?"
"Just lost, I hope," Jack said fervently.
"Please God."
The sergeant still had hold of Jack's arm. His grip tightened.
"Lost? You want the poor little devil lost? What's wrong with you, man?"
he was almost shouting. Jack freed his arm. "I'm hoping he's wandering around trying to think what to do. Or better still, how to get the gas back without anyone knowing. But I'm afraid I know where he's going."
"Where? God in heaven."
The sergeant's face was white now.
"He's not going to gas those stupid gits who are teasing him, is he?"
"No. I think he's hoping to prove his courage by going into the tunnels and letting the gas out on the other side." Jack remembered the taunts he'd heard, and some harebrained idea that gas in the German lines would decimate them the same way they had decimated us. Only nobody had the guts to take it there. It was just stupid talk. But Richards had heard it. He had even asked where the entrances to the tunnels were from this side. No one had answered him. It was a carefully guarded secret. Only the sappers went down there, new men and the remnants of those who had dug them. Sappers' casualty rates were high. It was something Jack knew, but refused to think of. The sergeant was staring at him.
"What do you want me to do?"
"Keep quiet for the moment."
"You going after him?"
"Yes."
Would it...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?